Apex before we begin the net this evening. Okay, good evening everyone. This is N2NOV. The name is Charles on Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard on the N2ROW link repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. That means we are going to be concentrating on those frequencies that are outside of the amateur radio band. And we can talk about amateur radio at other times during the week, so we reserve this time to help those people who do this part of the hobby understand what they are listening to. We also talk about who's on these frequencies and what equipment would be best to be able to pick up these signals. All these frequencies span the entire spectrum from DC to light and everything else in between. And all sorts of different modes of operation, from voice to data to visual. The basic information for this net and this repeater system: one, all of the repeaters, approximately 13 of them, are located on the website www.n2row.net. Please go to that website and pick the repeater that's closest to where you are so you can ensure that you have the best possible signal into the system. Two of the repeater frequencies of the system are specifically geared to use of handheld radio. Those are 145.230 and 440.100. If you use the base station, please don't use these two frequencies and let the handhelds with the weakest signal use them to get in. That's because both of these frequencies have remote scatter strapped tri-state airfields. And if you're checking in tonight, please give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate whether you have traffic for the net. By traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. All of the activity on this net for the past 17 plus years has been a reflection of what is brought to the net. There is no standard format, but we do try to keep it within the realm of non-amateur radio type of traffic. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, technical difficulties, you're too far away, or you may not have an amateur radio license yet, you can still participate by sending an email. And the email address for this net is nygxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. Please space it out. This way, everybody has a chance to check in. This is N2NOV.
NOV. Gateway 2OKZ. Ken in Cranford. No traffic.
C2GLW, Gordon in Manhattan. No traffic as usual. I'll be monitoring while I walk the dog.
NOV. Kilo 2, no Tango Tango. No dog. I'll be walking just myself.
Check control.
2NOV. Here is Kilo Bravo 3 Bravo Whiskey Foxtrot Art, St. George, no traffic monitoring.
Control. Whiskey Two, Mike Charlie Perry, Orange, New Jersey, Essex County, no traffic.
Because repeaters get linked together, sometimes there's a slight delay. sense why it's best to key up and pause for a second before you talk. Okay, anybody else? Okay, again, if you are not able to get into the repeater for whatever reason, please use our email address, which is nycsa@yahoo.com, and we'll check that email address periodically as we go along. Okay, let's see. We'll bring people up to date on a few things. If you've been listening to this particular repeater system over the past couple of days, NB2A Tom has been doing some work regarding the interface to Echolink and announcements and recordings and such. So be aware that that's going on and don't be thrown off by it. Technology like this allows us to do some interesting things for the radio community, of which I see some interesting possibilities down the road. And as soon as Tom and I can talk about them and work them out, I'll let you know what they will be. Two, the Winter SWL Fest is coming up next week, March 5th and 6th. All the details can be found on the website, www.swlfest.com. For those who've never heard of it before, it is, I think it's the 26th or 27th year of this gathering. No, excuse me, 23rd year, started in 1987. In Cupville, Pennsylvania, which is just north of Philadelphia, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike Extension in 1876. The gathering, sponsored by NASWA, which is the North American Shortwave Association, has been going on continuously since 1987, where we had our first encounter at a very interesting motor inn, which has since moved from there and gone over to a Best Western. The festival includes all sorts of different parts of the radio monitoring hobby, shortwave listening, long wave, scanners, CRF, the digital radio, broadcasting shortwave method, satellite dishes, all sorts of different things. Sort of a hands-on, face-to-face version of what this net has been and will continue to be. There are people that attend this festival from all over the United States, Canada, and including some people coming in from overseas. They have guest speakers from various parts of the industry at broadcasting and hands-on demonstrations and discussion forums, as well as opportunities to sit back, relax, crack a cold one, and swap stories about what they hear on the air. So if you ever wanted to meet face-to-face with some of the people, you probably see their names in internet forums and mailing lists. This is an opportunity to do so. So if you haven't done so already, go to the website, get the details, and get yourself registered. I guarantee you, you will have a good time there. If you need carpooling, get on the mailing list and start making that known to the various people, because sometimes they have extra room and they're willing to bring you down, or they need a ride and you've got room. So work it out between you. But either way, it's going to be a good event. Okay, in the ongoing saga of the New York City EMS, starting on Saturday, believe it or not, first Saturday they've done this, since they started the switchover process, probably because of the holiday and all the snowstorms. Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and today, they have been working on Manhattan North. So that's starting to move forward. The only ones that will be left will be Manhattan Central, South, Brooklyn South, and Staten Island. So getting closer and closer. As things have been going on, the audio has been sounding good on the new frequencies, and has been reported by several members as they're driving around the area. They're able to hear a frequency that they normally would not have heard. For example, somebody driving along the Dome Parkway able to hear the Bronx better than they had on the old frequency. So things are improving. Again, if you want to get a clue of which part of the EMS system is being worked on, I suggest that you leave your scanner on during the daytime between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the current EMS Citywide 2 frequency, 483.9875. And when you hear the different units coming up on there, cross-references to the EMS 10 code listing page on my website, and you'll know which part of the system that you are listening to. Okay, I've got nothing else at the moment. Is there any other comments or check-ins? This is N2NLB.
NC2RNG is checking in.
Okay, Ralph, just checked in. Any traffic tonight, Ralph?
Yes, I do.
Sorry, second.
Yes, I do have traffic for when you're ready.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. For those who never had or hardly had locking tuning in some of these very shortwave radio stations, one of the simplest ways to get a hold of some of the programming is to get on World Radio Network and listen to some of the broadcasts. And the easiest way to do that through the internet is go to their website at www.wrn.org. And they have different internet streams, quote unquote, that have various programming on them. Some are in different languages, some are just in English. And they also have guides and directories which are specifically geared towards different parts of the world. But if you go to their website, you'll see all the information there, and it'll give you an idea of what's available. There are all sorts of different stations that you can hear throughout the day. Things like Radio Australia, Netherlands, New Zealand, Romania, Ireland, UN Radio, Poland, Vatican. All sorts of different programming can be found on here. And they also have a satellite feed, which I believe is like Galaxy 25, but don't quote me on that right now. But go to their website and you'll see all the details there. Okay, Ralph, let's go over to you. Casey, to interview at 108.
Copy, thank you. Casey, to interview. I was wondering, the 16280, Volunteer EMS, are they actually running Simplex or like some kind of a repeater system? Because most of the time, the other station, I don't hear them at all. And when they call a quitting station, I hear the base station like full quieting, but I cannot hear the Manhattan or the Queens of stations. The Brooklyn one, I barely hear them. Are they like running a simplex kind of thing?
Yep, that's all simplex, all throughout the area. The five boroughs, Rockland County, Spalding County. Yeah, it's all simplex, Ralph, no repeaters.
Okay, and they're probably like running 5 watts, so how but the base station, they have like multiple receivers, or because I was wondering how they get through most of the time, because in the car, and they're running 5 watts on a VHF HD, how they have multiple receivers around the satellite?
Yeah, from what I understand, there are a couple, at least two different base stations. I'm sure you'd be able to tell by the voices and the different signal strength quality of the base station. That'll give you clues that they are different ones. It's not just one station.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Charlie, I was wondering, the MERS VHF HD, the 5-channel VHF MERS HDs, when are they going to go down in price, like an FRS radio? Because they've been around for at least 6 years, I know that. About 6-7 years, they've been around. When is the price going to go down? It's only a 5-channel VHF. Would you happen to know by any chance, Casey, for you?
Okay, you're talking about MURS, the multi-use radio service. These are the old color dot frequencies. Those radios are only a couple of watts, and the only way price is ever going to come down on any equipment is if there has to be enough of a customer base to buy them. And if they don't have much of a customer base, the price is going to stay up. It's supply and demand.
Okay, no problem. I've seen it on eBay, but they come up with the Chinese radios come out every time I type that in. Okay, keep doing you.
Now, one of the things about using radios here in the United States, the FCC has to allow them as being type accepted. If they're not, then they can't be used. So be very careful about that.
Copy,
second, station 2 and you. Okay. Yeah, even though it's not a licensed service like FRS, but that type accepted equipment for that frequency. Okay. Let's see. I'm not seeing anything on. Oh, here we go. Sorry, Stephen, I just saw the email. 461.375 seems to be a very active frequency in Staten Island used by multiple cab companies, as well as an authorized tow service. Is it a trunk frequency? And the answer is yes. It is one of the frequencies from an LTR trunk system. Your best bet to get all the frequencies of that system is to go to radioreference.com in the trunk radio system database. For LTR systems, it might also be called Staten Island Two-Way, and you'll find all the frequencies there. You would need to have a scanner that can decode the LTR data stream, which will allow you to follow conversations. Unfortunately, I have yet to see a listing of who is on which of the 12 group numbers, so it's going to be hard to identify who's who, but at least you'll have fun trying. For those who are in the market for some unit gear, I understand that they're having some kind of sale going on. Well, not necessarily a sale, but a deal with free shipping on different things, scanners to cordless phones and things like that. So check out their website, see what they have. We got an email as part of their list. Media Network, which is out of Radio Netherlands worldwide, has an email newsletter that comes out once a week. And if you'd like to be put on that mailing list to see what's going on as far as Radio Netherlands is concerned, you can sign up by sending them an email, Media Network. At rnw.nl. Media Network at nw.nl. Stands for Radio Network, Radio Netherlands Worldwide.nl for Netherlands. They have a list server, you can sign up and get their announcements. So, tells you about all sorts of frequency updates and programming and news that's going on over there in Europe and what affects the shortwave community. Let's see. Earlier this week, I received an email that there The station is basically starting off as analog on channel 64 as a low power station, but will be abandoning that frequency and shifting over to, believe it or not, channel 25 UHF, where they will set up their own low power digital station under the call sign WASA, Whiskey Alpha Sierra Alpha. WASA at the moment is a low power station out of Port Jervis, which is Sullivan County, New York, so it's kind of strong in the northwestern part of New Jersey. But they will be moving over to channel 25, since channel 25, when they went digital, moved over to channel 24. You can find a write-up about them on Wikipedia if you just type in WASA-LP. You'll find that they are a Spanish language broadcaster under the Estrella TV network, which came out of Los Angeles. I know Mark is picking up pretty decently up in the Morristown area, so it might be something to look for. And if you are using one of the digital television converter boxes, every so often it's a good habit to get into is to go into the menu and tell it to auto scan to pick up any new stations that may pop up. Either they're new stations or they may be weaker stations that you didn't pick up before, but you're able to get them now. So it's a habit I get into on one of my televisions here in the office. I have one of these boxes. Once a week, I just do an auto scan just to see what else pops up.
Good,
Rob.
Charlie, that reminds me of something. It's kind of funny in a way. I bought a digital converter box from eBay for $19 a total and everything. I was the first bidder and actually won. For $19, I got a Magnavox, a DTV converter, and also I got the other one. This one has a switch for on and off, but it has no buttons on it. Just put a remote you've got to use to select. The other one is the same thing. And this one, it's not from New York. It's somewhere from like in Tennessee somewhere. Somewhere in the United States, and it skips 13.1. 13.1 is actually 13.2, and I cannot get the regular 13.1, and on channel 3, I'm getting a very weak signal, but it says no program. Would you happen to know about that? It's a different firmware, or what could it be? Because I'm really curious about this now.
Well, you should be getting 13.1. I've got a Motorola box myself, and it comes in fine, and I'm all the way out here in Staten Island. That said, I would say just unplug it and let it go brain dead, and then plug it back in and do another auto scan. You should be able to pick up all of the different sub channels. If you compare it to the list that I have on my website, you'll know whether you're on target or not, because I list, you know, what the different channels are and how many different programming carriers that they have. As far as the channel 3 situation, it's probably a low power analog, so it's detecting a signal there, but there is no data stream for it to decode.
They also have, my neighbor's digital TV has you can select air or digital, one of those two. But the digital converter box only has air selection. It doesn't have the analog channel tuner, obviously. I wish it did, though. But, okay, I'll try to do that. But I just found it pretty strange in a way, because the other one is identical, and it does get 13.1. But 13.1 on this one is actually 13.2. And it skips the regular channel 13 for some strange reason. Even though I did scan twice, but it's unplugged right now, and I'll just I'll see what I can do with it. Basically, maybe it's slightly different. And the guy on eBay called it a digital cable box, an off-air digital cable box. He called it. I don't know what that means, though.
That's one of the problems with marketing. to, sometimes you'll see that. And if it's constant, if you do a constant, you know, doing the auto scan a few times, you're coming up with the same thing, it could be that they're just sending it out that way. And your best bet is to try and coordinate with somebody else that has a digital converter box as well, and see if they're getting the same thing. Or, if they are, then that's how it's being broadcast. If they're getting something different after doing an auto scan, then maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah, copy. But I was playing with the toolboxes at the same time, and I just noticed that one channel is skipping it. I had a two-way splitter from the antenna. I had a two-way splitter, one TV, and I was switching cables back and forth. And I was looking, going through every channel like crazy. And for sure enough, it was skipping 13-1. I don't know why. 13-1 was actually the kids' channel, which is actually 13-2. So I wonder why, though. Could it be a slight defect or what? Could it be some? It's got to be something, though. I got to look into it more. Casey, to and you.
Yep. And just with these digital tactics. Anyway, dig into it. Keep trying. Make sure that you have the strongest possible signal going into that box. Okay? Give it time to do the scan. If there is some type of interference that breaks into the signal somehow, you could miss some of the data stream. It's possible. But just keep doing it. You know, start from the antenna side, make sure everything is correct, strong and points in the right direction, you get the best possible signal, and just work your way through the system. Antenna, coax, box, receiver. That's all you can do.
Okay, Casey, join you.
Okay, any late check in the comments before we start wrapping it up? This is S1LB. Okay, Nathan, I get you with traffic. Is there anybody else?
KC2, SYL, good evening.
Hey, SYL, we have you. Any traffic, or just checking in?
Any recommendations for the storm? Any particular frequencies, maybe Public Works and so on, Skywarn, I guess the ones that normally you would listen to?
As far as the snowfall of this New York City sanitation, just follow their talk groups on the UHF trunking system. Skywarn depends on where you're listening to. There might be some traffic here. There might be some traffic on the Nassau County frequencies. It depends on what area you're more interested in. And basically as far as Public Works and snow related stuff for the five boroughs.
Okay, are the 453 frequencies still active for sanitation? Would you know, or did they move to the other system?
I know the last storm, somebody was listening to the 453 frequencies and heard just about nothing. It's because everything else was on the trunk system when they installed the new radios.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, CCC, you have any traffic tonight, Pete?
NCLLV, KC2CDC. Quick, one or two questions there. I was out and about today, and I was walking by, and I noticed a film crew filming something, and I noticed something odd. Someone was laying in the street, and I'm like, well, that's probably part of the movie, and I realized there was no cameras anyway. Not the FDNY ambulances, but the FDNY, like the SUV, the Suburban, whatever you call it. One-man operation got out, and I noticed that they are using the XTS 5000. Question is, do they really need that? And I can't believe that, like, 6 or 7 year old radios are already out the door. What's your take on that, or are you aware about that? Aware of that?
Okay. What's
the problem with somebody using a radio? The FDNY EMS has been using the XDS-3500R, and I don't think that the sole one, because I was looking on the flash options for that radio, and they have something called FDNY Quiet Ground Accountability, and that's an option only to the 5000. I just was wondering if you know anything about the rollout of that.
Well, I know about 6 months ago I was told about newer HCs being programmed for EMS that included both their conventional frequencies and the radio had the capability of the new 6.25 kilohertz Aptoide 25 capable conventional as well as trunking. So I'm only assuming that was the 5000 radio I'm talking about. Since they're moving in that direction anyway, it would only make sense for them to start using that. Because I don't know if the 3500 model that you referenced, which actually goes back to the year 2001, the first time I saw them, with the 9/11 operation, I don't know if that has the capability of such narrow band and digital capability.
No, the 3000 I'm talking to you now does. Back when I was the second owner of it, I was lucky enough to get a spares radio, so it was in pretty much excellent condition. And when I was looking through it, yeah, it can. It has the pretty much up-to-date firmware in it, and it originally was trunked, and it did have 6.25, and could it do both at the same time? Well, I never really tried it because I was too far away to, like, monitor it. But anyway, point being is I just, you know, just those things are just, like, so new that it just, you know, these are kind of like wasting money. And then I'm, like, on the other hand, thinking of, well, what are they going to do with all those 3500s, UHF and VHF? I just hope they don't stick a, put it on the end of a drill bit and put it on a drill press, or the bulldozer all over it.
Well, I think that would go hand in hand with asking questions. Who's going to wind up using a frequency that they're all abandoning between the fire department on the current VHF moving up to UHF? SYL's question about sanitation moving off the 453 frequencies as well. You know, there's a lot of shifting going around, and I don't think that the city of New York is going to waste those licenses, that they're actually going to use them for other agencies. For example, if you remember the old housing department frequencies, 453, 100, 200, 300, well, they're actually being used for the Department of Homeless Services, the shelter operation. You know, so it's not like things are going to be going to waste. I think at some point you're going to see something else pop up on these frequencies, and most likely they're going to be using the radio effect, not being used anymore. So it's just a matter of, you know, waiting and seeing what the new people decide.
I heard the part you took a little on noise. I was just wanting to repeat the part about the 453 frequencies. I didn't get to hear that too well.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of noise coming in on one of the link channels. I'm hearing it.
I was just giving a reference that if you remember the old New City Housing Authority frequencies of 450, 3.1, 0.2, 0.300, when they abandoned that and went up to the 800 trunking system, those frequencies are actually being used by the Department of Homeless Services for the shelter operations. So it's not like it's going to go to waste. They will find a use for it somewhere.
I hope the radios as well, you know, just some of the radios are, you know, are not that old.
Now, like I said, the 3000s, the 3500s, they're from 9/11. That was 8.5 years ago. So it depends on what the prevalent thought is of the, you know, what kind of lifespan to expect from a piece of equipment. You and I probably make it last 30 years. They probably have a piece of equipment out there that gets beat up. Who knows?
Not sure when the discontinuing of the 3500 was. I know it had a really, really short production lifespan, but I know for a fact that discontinuation, you know, whatever you want, you know, ordered by it in the last date of production, or you could put an order for the 3000 was December 31st, 2006. Don't know about the 3500. I know, you know, it was almost like an SP radio, special, you know, production, special project. It was almost like the Sabre SI. I don't know if you're familiar with that radio or not, but it was pretty much, you know, like a useless radio. Didn't have any digital, didn't have any functions. I don't even think it was digital, the SI. 3500, on the other hand, being, you know, fully capable of that. And the interesting thing about it, I don't know if you know anything about the, between the two, but one of the biggest features of those two radios is the 3000 has got this digital audio feature that you can adjust it for analog, digital, and secure on both. And it tailors the radio for talkers that speak low, speak loud, and it really takes advantage. And it had a write-up on Bat Labs about it. It was one of the most significant improvements for P25, and it was just interesting that supposedly on a much better radio, because it was more, you know, RF immune and more ruggedized and more this and more that, it wasn't on that. All right, I just wanted to ask you about that. See if you know anything, Charlie. Appreciate it. Your time.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm on the radio reference site right now, and they still have the sanitation frequencies in there. They still have the ones that they used to use. They didn't update it. I thought they updated like every 2 days, maybe the worst like every week or something. They're still in there. KC2 and you.
Well, Ralph, when it comes to New York City, you say think you're talking about me. I'm the one updating it. And so what? Now then, you know, once I know who's actually getting it and how they're using it, that's when I'll update it. In the meantime, I can only assume that they're being held in reserve.
C2MMC. New Jersey trunk tracking, and how would I know if they changed the frequencies on that, or the, I mean, how would I know versus a radio reference, would they change it, or would they change it right away, or what?
Say again, Terry, how would you know if what frequencies have changed?
There's the state police here and the helicopters here. I forgot to put that. I forgot North Star.
Yeah, as far as the radio reference listing is concerned?
Yes, sir.
Well, if somebody reports it or somebody observes the frequency being updated on the air, then the information will be passed along and updated in the database. But if nobody reports report it, nobody observes it, who knows? You know, it's not like the state of New Jersey is going to call up radio references and say, hey, here are new frequencies and talkers. You know, everything that's on there is based upon people observing it.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, let's see. Nathan, you said you had traffic? Dead. K2NTT, that's 1OP.
No, really, the group K2NTT. Just a little comment about the digital TV. Let's see that I have it. Kilo 2 November Tango Tango. Channel 5 has always had some sort of an interference on the lower part of its band. And when they transit, when they changed to digital, in the beginning they started to use 5 and 9, they are the same network. So they did on the first channel, they had 5, and on the second they had 9, and put the same opposite on 9. 9-1 was 9, and 9-2 was 5. They recently changed to be on the same. So they basically repeat the same thing. And when I go to 5-1, I can't really see anything. I'll see the noise. 5-2 will work. So I assume that's what happened and why they did that. The other thing was that I also had problem with 13-1. 13-1. For some reason kind of disappeared on me too. I used to be able to receive it about a couple of months ago. 25, which is actually 24, they always had a marginal signal with my conditions anyways. That's it. Go ahead. K2 entity.
Okay, well, yeah, it's, it'd be nice if they would explain these things on their website or something, but, yeah, it's the same thing with Terry's question and Ralph's question about things being listed off the database at Radio Reference. The only way we're going to find out these things is if we observe it and we report to each other, which is why, you know, talking about it here or on emails is one way to get the information around, you know, share notes and see what's going on. One of the things that we always have to keep in mind, even if it is a digital signal, quote unquote, whether it be voice for one of the public service agencies or television, it is still a radio frequency. And it is still prone to different types of interference and weak signal situations, overdriving, splatter, if you want to call it that, adjacent channel interference. All these different things still exist even in the digital world. There are different results. It may be better, it may be worse, but it still exists. It's still radio transmission of one type or another. One of the things that a digital signal will do if it's a fast enough, smart enough processor, digital signal processor, is that it will still try to dig out all the little bits that you can use the signal until it reaches a certain threshold that there aren't enough bits to give you a usable signal, and then it drops off. In analog, you can actually see or hear it get weaker and weaker until you can't figure out what it is. And that's your brain's filter trying to put it together. But sometimes you, as a human being, can make use of a weak signal in analog, where digital systems method and possible situation that you're dealing with, the better you can understand it.
K2MQT. Well, actually, it's much better, and the digital has another advantage. That's a disadvantage that you cannot make out, you know, but what does happen is that I used to always get double and triple shadowy picture because of the reflections from the near buildings. It's a big problem, especially in Manhattan, and digital kind of... Not kinda, digital really fixed that. So it says the strongest signal are being received nice and properly. Back to you in the group, K2MTT.
Yeah, and that problem was solved because how the digital television signal is decoded is that it is looking for specific bits of data with error checking. And as long as it gets it, you can put the signal back together and it ignores everything else. So, yes, that's one of the strong points, especially in a city environment. Okay, is there anything else before we wrap it up? It's almost 10 o'clock. This is N2108. Doing the final check of the email, don't see anything else coming in, so we'll make that an official end of the net tonight. Say good to greet everybody, and we'll catch you here next week. Watch out for the snow tomorrow, drive safe if you're going to be on the road, if you're going to be taking mass transit, especially buses, give yourself some extra time. The storm is supposed to be hitting our area between 6 a.m. tomorrow and 6 a.m. on Friday. So, catch you later on the air. And just want to be clear.